Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. I'm glad you chose to worship with us. You know, today, just about everybody knows how to read. I'm amazed at my young grandsons that they learn how to read at such an early age. Education is a part of a civilized society. But not too long ago, in the ancient world, almost everybody could not read. They couldn't read, they couldn't write. And so how did they learn? Well, they learned in a couple of different ways. One, they learned by song. They would sing songs. And most of the Old Testament is really songs and poems. And the other way they learned life lesson was through proverbs. They would have proverbs because proverbs were short phrases of wisdom and they were easy to remember. Every culture has their own proverbs. Look at this one. This is a Chinese proverb. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And here is an Arab proverb. Avoid things that will require an apology. Okay, these are wisdom sayings. How about this English proverb we're all familiar with? A pen is mightier than the sword. How about rednecks? You know, rednecks have proverbs. Don't spit in the wind. You know? These are wisdom sayings. And so today, we are going to start a study of the book of Proverbs. A sermon series that will go on for a couple months. And we're going to go through the Proverbs is written different than the Gospels or much of the Old Testament. Because it is Proverbs and they are short, it's hard to go verse by verse through them. And so for the first 9 chapters, we'll kind of go verse by verse through Proverbs, but I'll be leaving out parts because it repeats itself a lot. And then when we get to chapter 10, it's almost all topical and how to handle different situations in life. And so we're going to study the book of Proverbs. So let's look at Proverbs 1:1. You want to pull out your sermon outline out of your bulletin? Our system's been kind of glitchy, so sometimes it'll go out, so you may need to pull out your sermon outline. Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. So the book identifies Solomon, the son of David, the second king, third king of Israel, actually, a king of Israel as the author. He was king of a united kingdom of the 12 tribes. When he was young, when he became king, he asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. His wisdom became so profound that people would come from the ends of the earth to hear him. And when they went home amazed at his depth of understanding. Solomon wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. And so the book of Proverbs contains a lot of Solomon's Proverbs, but also the writings of a few other authors. The book of Proverbs, if you look at this next slide, we have prophecy, we have the law, but this part of the Old Testament is wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes, Job, and Proverbs. And the writers of these books wrestled with some of the most difficult questions in life. And they wrote about it to give us wisdom from God's perspective so that we can understand how to approach the problems in life from God's point of view. You know, we don't just follow God by faith. Yes, it requires faith. But when we became a Christian, God didn't tell us to just park our brain on the shelf and do what he says. God expects us to apply ourselves intellectually, to understand God's Word, how it works in our lives, to do some serious thinking about God's Word and God's will in our lives. We love the Lord with all our heart and soul, but also with our mind. So Christians do not function by blind faith. We know what we believe in. And so let's go to our first truth that's in our outline. Proverbs are principles for godly living. Very important that you understand. They are principles. They are not promises. Proverbs are not promises. They are principles. Do this, and in most cases, this will happen, right? If you don't spit in the wind, you're not going to get spit back in your face. It's just as simple as that. The book of Proverbs focuses on human character and conduct and condition. It is a book of moral and ethical instructions. It teaches us how to live wise and godly lives and how to avoid the pitfalls of living unwise and un, godly lives and conduct. So God gave us wisdom in the book of Proverbs to teach us how to live. And so as we looked at these passages, we see two things. We study Proverbs to gain two things. One is wisdom. Wisdom which leads to understanding. For the attaining of wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. See, there's a great need for wisdom in our society today. The lack of wisdom is destroying the lives of many young people. The lack of wisdom is making fools out of the old. Marriage are destroyed, friendship lost, souls are doomed for the lack of wisdom and understanding. We need wisdom to understand the what, why, when, where, and how of life. How we are supposed to function in this world. How we are supposed to live. We need wisdom to understand, which leads to understanding and insight. Now, what is wisdom? Is it knowledge? No. Wisdom is really how you use your knowledge. So a person, an uneducated person, can actually be quite wise, because they are very wise about how they use what they learned. On the other hand, we know highly educated and knowledgeable people that are quite foolish. Okay, they don't know how to use what they have learned. Look at this quote. This quote. Wisdom may be defined as a realistic approach to the problems of lives, of life. Wise men and wise women need to have the competence to grasp the meaning of every situation and to respond the right way. Now think about this. Look at this illustration on this next slide. Imagine that you are yelled at by your boss at work or your spouse or a brother or sister in Christ. You can react in three ways. One, you can strike back physically or verbally. You know, someone yells at you, you just turn around, you yell right back at them. Of course, when you do that, what happens? It escalates the conflict. Or two, you can do nothing and just walk away. But to be honest, if you're in business and you do nothing and walk away, you become a doormat, right? People know they can push you around, they'll push you around some more. Or three, you can react with a wise and gentle answer. We see that in Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now today, you know, we're having a new protocol in worship today. Don't touch anybody. That's the new protocol. Just don't touch anybody and just keep your distance from everybody. And that's wisdom. We're trying to exercise some wisdom. But I know some people get upset that we're not doing enough and, you know, they're very scared about the virus. I understand it. Very paranoid. And, you know, they get candle Lysols and want to spray it on you. But others don't think we should worry about it at all, about anything. And so, you know, we have a tendency we want to mock people. The ones that are scared want to judge people for not doing enough. The ones that don't care want to mock people for doing too much. Well, wisdom says that we just love and support each other. We encourage each other. We don't judge. We don't criticize. We show respect. We study Proverbs to gain wisdom to understand how to respond to life's challenges. But the second thing we study Proverbs for is discipline. Discipline which leads to self-control. Verse 3, which for crying discipline and the prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. You know, there's so much knowledge today. There's so much wisdom today. We need wisdom. You know, wisdom really is how to do things, right? And we go to YouTube to learn how to remodel, fix things, how to do our hair or whatever. And we go to, there's so much wisdom, so much knowledge. But why aren't more people wise, right? Why aren't more people doing wise things? Why is it sometimes we act more stupid than we should? Why is it everyone is out of control? They act emotionally and impulsively and they have no self-control. Well, the reason why is because wisdom is useless without discipline. When we lack the self-control, we cannot apply wisdom to our lives. Instead, we are driven by our passions and our desires and our feelings and emotions. So if you come to me and you have problems and they keep repeating themselves, it's because you have no discipline, no self-control. When you talk to a family member or a friend who keeps coming to you with the same problem, they make no changes, I encourage you to tell them, are you being disciplined in your approach to your problem? Are you exercising self-control? control? Or instead, are you letting your fears and your worries consume you, your emotions get the best of you? Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. When was the last time you got in an argument you just unleashed? When was the last time you got so angry you just couldn't keep it inside? Maybe your problem is not anger, maybe it's pride, and you like to comment and criticize people, and you just can't help not telling someone what their problem is, or why they are wrong for not doing what you think is right. Wisdom keeps himself under self-control. Maybe you're dealing with a disappointment or discouragement, and the first temptation you have is to withdraw into yourself, to get depressed and get discouraged. Wisdom makes that man or woman exercise self-control. So we need discipline and we need prudence. Prudence is the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. Reason and facts. It uses wise discernment to avoid rash behavior and rash speech. See, what is the good of knowledge if you don't use it? What good is wisdom if you don't continue to exercise discipline? You won't learn anything and you won't accomplish anything in life. You know, the Olympic athlete is the epitome of discipline. Man, they deny themselves food. They make themselves work out. They say no to some things they say to yes. They have to be disciplined. You can't be an Olympic athlete without discipline. Instead, you'll just be a couch potato like me criticizing the Olympic athletes for not performing. Because we know so much. We have knowledge, right? There are two parts, if you're familiar with the story of King Solomon. There are two parts to King Solomon's story. When Solomon was young, he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And he obeyed the laws of the living God, and he embraced the wisdom of God. And he became wealthy. He became rich. His life and wealth were ridiculous. And they didn't use silver in the kingdom anymore. Silver was too plain. Everything was made out of gold. In today's dollars, Solomon was probably a trillionaire. So much wealth, so much abundance. When he obeyed God, when he embraced wisdom, his life was full of blessings. But we know the story. In the middle of Solomon's life, he began to violate the laws of the living God, and his success and his happiness began to vaporize. One thing he did that he was not disciplined about. You know, God was very clear, do not intermarry with the pagan people in the lands around them. But Solomon married hundreds of foreign princesses for political purposes to form treaties and strategies to keep his kingdom at peace. He formed treaties with foreign governments. He sealed it by marrying foreign heathen women. Also did it because they gratified his lust. He lost discipline. Gradually they turned his heart away from God. God was so disappointed in Solomon. How tragic that Solomon didn't even obey the precepts he wrote in his own book. He had wisdom, but no discipline. How can a person who's known as being the wisest person on earth be so stupid? He lacked discipline. Do you lack discipline? Do you lack wisdom? Wisdom means you know when to say no to sin. You know when to say yes to God and start serving God. Discipline means you do say no to sin. And you do say, yes, God, I'm going right now. Now, why do we need discipline? Let's go to number three. Everyone will benefit from wisdom. Everyone will benefit from wisdom and discipline. God gives us His Word for His blessing and benefit. Everybody needs wisdom. Proverbs verse 4. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, to let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and the riddles of the wise. We need wisdom to understand God's Word and how to apply it. No one is too old or too young. A lot of people think they're too old to learn anything new. As I approach people, Christians who are believers, and they say, well, I don't want to do anything else. I'm I've done everything. I know enough. You know, they sound like they have so much wisdom, they can't learn anymore. God says, no, you're being foolish to think that way. So let's look at this list here. Wisdom will give to the simple, the naive, people who lack any understanding, prudence and discipline. How to be disciplined in life. To the young man, young woman, knowledge and discretion to guide them in their younger years. To the wise man, a wise man who knows so much, increased learning. To the man of understanding who seems to know everything, wise counsel. How to deal with specific situations. If you don't think you need more wisdom, you are being a fool, you are being arrogant, or you're being prideful. Which one describes you? Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't realize the word stupid was in the Bible, but there it is. I'm not going to call you stupid, but God says if you lack discipline, if you lack wisdom when you can have it, you are simply being stupid. I think if you look at the world today, we are being stupid. Okay? We're not helping each other. All we do is spend time arguing, fighting with each other instead of loving each other. Don't be stupid, be wise. Even the Christian life, in the book of the Ephesians, we are commanded to go through life with wisdom. Ephesians 5:15. Be careful, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the wisdom when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is key to living a life of wisdom. When we connect to God's Word and we connect to the Holy Spirit, He gives us discernment and understanding. We need the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's Word. Times are fleeting. Times are passing by. The days are evil. God's saying, make the most of your time. Every day you waste is another day we waste. We can't get it back. Too many people in today's world are wasting their time and being foolish about things. We're too foolish and we're chasing foolish things. We should be chasing what I talked about last week, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God gave us a book of Proverbs to equip us for every good work, gain wisdom and discipline, to know what is just and right and fair. We need wisdom and we need discipline. So what is the starting point? If we say, yes, I understand, I want to search for wisdom, I want to gain discipline, how do we do it? We go to verse number 4 in our outline. Wisdom requires a right relationship with God. We need to be right with God to gain wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 is the theme verse for the book of Proverbs. Every book in the Bible has a theme verse. I think the theme verse for the book of John is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For Proverbs, it's verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This in the book of Proverbs, you'll find at least 18 references to the fear of the Lord. We need the right attitude with God in order to gain wisdom. When we are right with God, our world will be right. If your world today, your marriage, your workplace, your home is not right, it's because you are not right with God, or that other person in your relationship is not right with God. See, it takes a humble heart to receive God's wisdom. The hard heart rejects God's wisdom and discipline. We need a humble heart, a heart that is open to God. The key to a right attitude with God is understanding what the word fear means. So let's go to our next thought. Fear. What does the word fear mean? The word fear has a threefold meaning when we think about it. It can mean this. Watch out for the Lord. It's a fear means dread and terror. You are terrified by God. If I had to, it came to me when I was sitting here today singing worship songs with you that I should have changed this to a different title. Instead of watch out for the Lord, it should be the wrath of God. All right? So just write in the wrath of God if you want. We fear the wrath of God. I am reading through the Bible. I finished Revelation, so I'm going back to the beginning, Genesis. I'm in Numbers. The theme of Numbers is the wrath of God. I mean, the Israelites are running for their lives because God is scaring them to death. They go to the mountain of God and it's thunder and lightning and the earthquakes and trembling. People would sin against God and 24,000 would drop dead from a plague, or snakes would go into the people of Israel, and they would get bitten and die. God revealed himself this way. Sometimes God would exercise immediate judgment. People would drop dead. And so they were terrified of the wrath of God. They lived in fear. And that's one aspect of what it means. Moses told the people that the Lord revealed himself in such a terrifying manner to scare them and keep them from sinning. God has come to test you, he said, that his fear may be before you, that you may not sin. So this is one aspect of the fear of God. And we have to take heart with it because there is something called Judgment Day. The fear of the Lord means that God's wrath is real. When I was 12 years old, I chose to become a Christian because of the fear of the Lord. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted the hope of heaven, not the certainty of hell. So I trusted in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I feared the consequence of sin. But God does not want us to dwell in this fear. This fear gets our attention. But if we only obey God because of fear, that is not a relationship, right? You can't live under threats. And even the people of Israel, they were fearful of God when he was shaking, but when he wasn't shaking, they weren't fearful. So it didn't work in that aspect. Okay, next thing we see, the next aspect of fear is see the wonder of the Lord, to stand in awe of God. You know, as I grew in my Christian faith, I began to see the wonder, the glory of God, the beauty of creation, the majesty of creation, the complexity of creation. When my first daughter, Jennifer, was born, when she was born, I remember when she came out, I remember saying to myself, God is real. Okay, I believed in God, but this was like tangible proof. This living creature was proof that God was real. It was wonder. I got this picture recently of my youngest grandson, Toby. You know, you look at that and you see his innocence and his sweetness. Yes, Larry, I had to slip it in. We stand in awe of God, of his glory, of his wonder, because life is so precious. When I see all of you, when I talk to you, I see the depth of God's love for you, God's love for me. And in times like this, when we experience the wonder of God, we draw closer to God. The fear of the Lord means I see the wonder of God. It fills me with joy and peace and contentment. I want to sing a song to the Lord. Then thirdly, the fear of God means we worship the Lord with love and reverence. Because we fear and we watch out, because we fear and we wonder about the Lord, we respond with worship. We love God completely and we give him our reverence. See, I recognize God as the God of, God is my creator, God is my savior, God is my sustainer. I am willing, I want to accept his wisdom and put it into practice. I humbly worship the Lord today. I love him completely. He alone deserves my worship. The fear of the Lord is expressed by my reverence and submission to his will. Now, if you're here today and you're only here because you're afraid of God, I understand that. That's the starting point. We need to be afraid and fear God, but your faith needs to grow. You need to grow where you experience the wonder and glory of God. You need to grow and experience worship to the Lord publicly and privately. We must have a proper relationship with God in order to be wise. To fear the Lord means to respect him and respond to him with trust and worship and obedience and service. If God is not honored, if His word is not followed, then wisdom can never be attained. Without the fear of the Lord, we deprive ourselves of God's treasures and His wisdom and His will. And instead, when we do not fear God, we respond to evil and embrace it. Now, verse 7, the theme verse, I'm going to try to explain it when I read it in the commentary, is a poetic couplet. It is a form of Hebrew poetry. And so do we go to our next, we're in this slide, is a couplet. It's a form of antithetical parallelism, whatever that means. That means they have the first, instead of, we do rhymes, They don't do, Hebrew poetry is not rhymes. And so they do an opposite. In this case, it's an opposite. Positive, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But in this form of poetry, the second half will be the complete opposite. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Throughout the book, we will see words fool and folly. We think wisdom and discipline, but the opposite is fools and folly. In the book of Proverbs, the fool and those who are folly are characterized mostly by his or her unwillingness to seek and listen to the advice of others, usually talking about listening to God or listening to their parents. The person who is a fool or practices folly is characterized, see if this describes you or not, stubborn will and engages in stupid behavior. You have a stubborn will and God says, time to get up and go do this. You go, no, not today. I don't feel like it, God. You have a stubborn will to God, or do you just do stupid things? Stubborn will or engages in stupid behavior. Fools are stubborn and stupid in God's eyes. They only listen to their own heart, so it leads to defeat, failure, and disappointment. So throughout the book of Proverbs, as we go through it, we will see the encouragement to get wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost you all of you have, get understanding. What's most important in life? Get wisdom. You know, I was so happy when the stock market was at 30 or 29,000. I kept telling my wife that, God says I can retire soon. Soon I will just gather all that wealth closer and closer. But then the market, of course, dropped. I say, okay, I guess God has a different plan for me. I guess I'll be your pastor forever. Sorry. Though it costs everything you have, get wisdom. Because when you get wisdom, you discover that you have everything you need. Your relationship with God will be better and closer. Your relationship with each other will be richer. And that's everything we need. So I ask you, shall we be wise or shall we be fools? Be wise. Listen to the Lord's wisdom. Practice discipline. We're going to study this for the next couple of months. And so we need to be wise and trust in the Lord. If you're here today, understand that God loves you. His wisdom is that He loves you. He can't love you any more or any less than He loved the way He loves you right now. And no matter what you do or what you've done, God loves you. As much as God is love, God is also holy. And God cannot have sinfulness in His presence. So a person who is sinful cannot enter into God's presence or experience heaven and eternal life. So God in His wisdom made us holy by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, to rise from the dead and give you eternal life. When God sees us and we have trusted in Christ, He sees the holiness of Christ in us. That's God's wisdom to bring you home. Jesus paid the price of your sins. Be wise today. Think about what God has done for you and what you need to do with God. You need to trust in Jesus today and believe in Him. That's the first step in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we know that You loved us and You gave us wisdom to teach us how to live, to have better lives, to exercise discipline and prudence in our lives, to teach our children and the children of the church to be wise and disciplined. Father, we know You give it to us, not because You are mad at us, or because you want to punish us, but because You love us. Every blessing comes from You. And Father, we know that we need to fear You. We need to honor You and respect You as our Lord and Savior and God and King, that we can begin to gain wisdom. I pray that everyone here be wise. To start understanding their relationship with you first, is the relationship with you right, and the relationship with others. Father, I pray for wisdom. I pray, Father, that we'll trust in you and believe in you today. And we need discipline, Lord, to practice what you have taught us. Thank you, Lord, for all you give us. We trust in you now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our invitation song. If I can encourage you in any way, please come forward.